This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston wants 30 hotel rooms at the Quality Inn in Revere. They are for people currently in the area of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnea Cass Boulevard who are experiencing homelessness and addiction. The city of Boston says it wants to use the rooms for transitional housing and wraparound services for people at Mass and Cass. But Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo is against it, saying there has been no plan, and that makes the idea dangerous. Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey and Mayor Arrigo are set to meet and talk out their differences later this afternoon. We caught up with Mayor Arrigo a little earlier today, and I asked why specifically he objected.
I wrote a letter to the Boston Public Health Commission expressing my immense frustration, and it's been more around the fact that there is no plan. You know, we've heard a lot about a regional plan. We've heard a lot about how we can potentially help these folks. We haven't seen any details. As I stated in the letter, I still don't even know how many rooms they're looking to rent from the Quality Inn in Revere. And so when we found out about this, which didn't happen the way these things normally happen, it happened through a voicemail. You know, there was some frustration, but ultimately, what we need to do is make sure that we're meeting the need of this humanitarian crisis. We cannot just move people in a bus and ship them to another city. We need to have a real regional plan, a responsible regional plan. This is a situation where all hands should be on deck. And that includes the governor, that includes the attorney general, that includes the DA, and includes Metro Boston mayors, multiple mayors in multiple cities. Coming together, convening, and figuring out how to roll up our sleeves and tackle this. It doesn't mean just moving people from one city to another, and that is what we've seen.
So a lot to unpack there. I'm going to pull some of the threads in what you just said, Mayor Arrigo, and I'm going to start kind of small. The city confirmed to WBUR that the pilot proposal is for 30 rooms. Did you get inconsistent numbers of rooms from the city, or did you just not know what the size was?
So we had heard everything from 160 to 30, and it depended on who we were talking to. We got different numbers,
and is 30 more attractive? Assuming.
Well, what we want to make sure is that there's an operational plan, right? We want to make sure that there are other regional partners that are part of this, that there are state stakeholders that are part of this, that this isn't just something where putting 30 beds in one place and that's it. What I haven't heard are who are the other partners that we'd be working with? What is the operational plan around that? And how do we make sure that we have the resources to be able to meet the needs of the folks that are going to be there?
So that's helpful. I'm going to pick that up for a second. Thanks. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No problem.
So you're really emphasizing sort of the coordination, the regional strategy, the planning. And so to clarify, you are not objecting in principle to housing people who are experiencing homelessness and addiction from the Mass and Cass area in Revere. You're not objecting to that. It's the process by which this is happening. Am I understanding you correctly?
Right. And that's from our own experiences. We spearheaded the COVID hotel that was at the Quality Inn, and that took leaders from the region coming together and working together. That took me working with my counterparts in other cities, mayors, city managers, and bringing people together, operationalizing how we're going to make this work, getting buy-in from everybody, and executing what was a well-orchestrated program of having a quarantine hotel at the Quality Inn. I have no confidence that the Boston Public Health Commission took any of those steps or can do any of those steps. And so what I look for is, again, to convene regional leaders, make sure that we have a responsible plan and that we have partners in recovery for a real plan. That is going to be the thing that allows us to meet this humanitarian crisis at Mass and Cass.
So based on that experience, and that seems like a relevant example of this kind of coordination, what are you worried will happen if people who have been experiencing homelessness and addiction at Mass and Cass go to the Quality Inn without that kind of regional coordination and planning? And I guess, Mayor, in the back of my mind is, is the crisis nature of this. It could take a long time to do what you're talking about doing there. You stood up the COVID hotel actually fairly quickly, is my memory.
Quick.
Yeah. So,
right.
One, how do you think about the urgency piece in this? And two, what are you worried will happen if residents move into, short-term residents move into the Quality Inn with this, without this kind of regional coordination?
So I'm convinced if we have the right people around the right table who can make things happen, that this can be done in an urgent manner. And I know that I want to be part of that, right? And I know that folks all the way from the governor down to mayors and other communities are willing to roll up our sleeves and do this work. And I think it can be done in an urgent way. And we've seen that through the Quality Inn. It didn't take very long to pull that together, but it took time and effort and our teams getting together and working through all the logistics. If you don't do those logistics, ultimately, you have the consequences of that. And I cannot, as a mayor of the city of Revere, put my city in a place to potentially have the consequences of not doing this properly. There's a public safety issue. There are issues with the neighborhoods behind the hotel. There are a number of things that could happen that could go wrong if this isn't planned out and executed properly. And that's where the frustration comes from, is we know how to do this. I don't have the capacity to do this right now, but we're willing to help out and be partners. But that doesn't mean that just moving people from one place to another is not a regional plan and not a solution.
Mayor, and can you be specific about what you are concerned the consequences will be?
So everything that is associated with the hard-to-reach populations of homeless and the folks that suffer from substance use disorder, those issues are very real. We see them play out, and we're seeing them play out at Mass and Cass.
Have you and Mayor Janey spoken, Mayor Arrigo, since the letter?
We plan to speak this afternoon.
Okay, great. So in the meantime, the City of Boston gave us a short statement when we reached out. It said in part, quote, "The City of Boston must not shoulder this burden alone. Mayor Janey invites Mayor Arrigo and other mayors to join her in efforts to address the needs of those suffering from mental health challenges and substance use disorder in Boston, Revere, and across our Commonwealth. One such opportunity is a pilot effort in Revere that will provide transitional housing and wraparound services, helping some of our most vulnerable neighbors find stability, treatment, and recovery," end quote. What's the message? With that statement in mind, what's the message you want to deliver to Mayor Janey this afternoon, and what specifically do you want to hear from her?
So first, I do give her credit, because this is the first I've heard as mayor, and I've been mayor for 6 years now. This is the first time I've heard from any mayor of Boston or leader about working collaboratively on this specific issue. So I do give her credit and the willingness to be able to do that. And I'm happy to work towards responsible regional solutions. Mayor Janey knows that the challenges of Mass and Cass probably better than anyone. And it's in her neighborhood. And I will stand with her to work toward more buy-in from cities and towns throughout the region. It's not one community's burden to bear alone. It's not the City of Revere's. It's not City of Boston's. We have to be together and work together on that. And she's right about that. But it can't just be a displacement to another community either. And we need a real coalition. We need a real regional solution. And we need something that's responsible. And that's what I look forward to talking to Mayor Janey about today.
That was Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo. He is speaking with Acting Mayor Kim Janey of Boston a little later this afternoon. So let's get some more context on the situation unfolding at that area around Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. WBUR's Deborah Becker was listening in on that conversation with Mayor Arrigo, joins us now. Deb, welcome back.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to start by asking you your reactions to what you just heard, Deb.
Well, I think he's got a point. If he did, in fact, learn of this through a voicemail and was not getting consistent information, then I think that Mayor Arrigo certainly has reason to have a lot of questions and a lot of concerns about this proposal. And comparing it to what happened in Revere for COVID and being able to set up some sort of emergency services on quick notice, he's right. He had partners. He had the state. And in this case, it doesn't seem to be the same. So I think think his concerns are legitimate. At the same time, there are real problems in that neighborhood of Boston. And Boston has been trying for a long time to get other communities involved and to get help. And it hasn't happened at this point.
So Mayor Arrigo and I didn't discuss this, Deb, but the neighborhood around Mass and Cass recently put a stop to a plan to house people at the vacant Best Western Roundhouse in the area, correct?
That's right. Victory Programs had a contract to use two floors of that hotel for up to 35 transitional housing beds, but neighbors didn't want it there, and they said other areas of the city and the state should be offering more of the services that draw people to the Mass Cass area of Boston.
So it is striking, Deb, same sort of size of intervention, right? 35 rooms there, 30 rooms in Revere. You know, it makes one wonder if there's an approach that is going to get a yes somewhere.
Well, that's a good question. I think there are probably a lot of communities that are reluctant to jump on board, worried that they may then have a similar crisis in their own neighborhoods without the proper infrastructure and resources. And I think that those are legitimate concerns.
So, Deb, we talked with you. I was looking at this. It was almost exactly a month ago after you spent some time in the area at Mass and Cass. Conditions were deteriorating. So it's a month later. What is the situation on the ground like right now?
I think I would still say deteriorating. It continues to deteriorate. It's almost surreal. There are hundreds of people congregating on the streets, an estimated 200 tents at least on the streets where people are living inside those tents. Many people openly using drugs. There's a lot of garbage. Service providers are trying to keep people alive and find treatment beds. Business leaders say they're frustrated. They're improving security. The Greater Boston Food Bank recently said it had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on increased security. And I spoke with Greater Boston Food Bank President and CEO Catherine D'Amato. She told me that in the past 2 months, the number of tents lining the streets around the food bank have spiked, and the trucks delivering and taking food have had a tough time getting around. This is what she said.
So there were no tents in our area in early August, and now they're on both sides of the street. And you, if you came down, you would see it. You would see people like in the street, around the street, you know, in and out of the street. There are Home Depot carts. There are grocery carts, there are tents, there are tents attached to our parking lot, there are, you know, again, needles everywhere, there's human waste, and there's a lot of garbage.
And D'Amato says that she and others in that area of the city are asking the mayor to require DPW crews to clean up the streets, which she says the crews are not doing right now. She also wants the mayor to require police to help clear people from the area so the trucks can get about safely. You know, service officials and city officials and state officials, they say they're going to work on this regional plan, but I think they really need to meet and to try to work hard to come up with a plan to address these issues.
And it is striking, Deb, I guess I'll just observe this. We're talking about the food bank, you know, an organization geared toward helping people who are experiencing a different humanitarian crisis, and it's becoming a non-starter for them as well. There is something striking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the food bank feeds 600,000 people a month, and that is in jeopardy because of basic logistics, really.
So you've been reporting on these issues for years, Deb, and I guess I just want to sort of see inside your head, is this level of suffering more intense than what you've seen in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did my first story about the area 5 years ago. So we've revisited it over the years, and I have never seen so many people in the Mass Cass area before. And again, I think it's going to take a large group, health leaders, business leaders, city officials, to work to try to address this and to deal with some of the problems there.
So, Deb, before we let you go, I know that you reported this morning on a different story, and this had to do with the new ombudsman for the State Department of Correction, the first ombudsman. That person has been placed on paid administrative leave. The ombudsman, Seth Peters, was placed on leave yesterday after being appointed to the post by the DOC and the UMass Chan Medical School. So can you tell us what's going on with that?
Yeah. Well, after we asked about Seth Peters' background, UMass said that he was placed on paid administrative leave and said it's investigating whether the ombudsman, Seth Peters, is the same Seth Peters who was involved in a wrongful death lawsuit that UMass settled 9 years ago. In that suit, Seth Peters, as an EMT, was accused of falsifying records about a man who was having a heart attack and who Peters and another EMT made walk down 3 flights of stairs. And the man later died. So there are concerns about the vetting of Seth Peters, if he is the same Seth Peters. And I spoke earlier today with State Representative Mary Keefe, who's co-chair of the Criminal Justice Reform Caucus, and she said she contacted UMass today to get more information because she wants this position appointed quickly. Let's listen.
We're generally looking for strong, independent oversight on lots of different levels of the DOC. To step out right now around this position and to have it to be so controversial is really not a good way to start.
So Keefe and the other caucus co-chair, Senator Jamie Eldridge, say they want the DOC and UMass to answer some questions about this and to get the process moving. The ombudsman is supposed to oversee COVID mitigation efforts in state prisons and efforts to reduce the number of people incarcerated in Massachusetts.
Deb, can you just stay on that part of this for us for a second? This is the first time somebody's even in this role. What led to this appointment, and how big of a deal is it to have somebody in this ombudsman role?
It's a big deal. This position was put into budget language at the end of last year. Senator and gubernatorial candidate Sonia Chang-Diaz wrote the language asking for this ombudsman to provide oversight to COVID mitigation efforts. What was happening in state prisons? How was the virus being controlled? What was needed in state prisons? How were deaths taken care of? How was health maintained? All of those things this person would do. The position was not filled by the end of the budget year, which was June, so it was renewed. And this person, Seth Peters, was just hired to fill the position, and a report about him was just sent to the legislature last week that he was taking over this office, that the office would be staffed, and this oversight would be provided to the Department of Correction, and it would be run jointly with the UMass Chan Medical School.
So in addition,
it is a big deal. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So in addition to watching the outcome on Peters, just briefly, what else are you going to pay attention to? What are you going to be watching for on this front?
I think it'll be interesting to see how quickly lawmakers can get someone in that position to oversee the Department of Correction and how this will all play out. I think that'll be an interesting story because there have been a lot of reports about the virus in state prisons and about other allegations of the mistreatment of prisoners in state correctional facilities. So I think it'll be interesting to see exactly how this story continues.
We will follow you as you follow along. That's WBUR's Deborah Becker. Deb, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.